Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Siblings Peculaire. My name is Adam Peculaire and I'm here with my sister Sarah Peculaire.
Hello.
And we are putting out into the world, into the ether, a podcast that explores the supernatural, the unnatural, the odd, the arcane, the obscure, anything we can get our heads wrapped around and even those that we can't. Our story, just a little bit about my sister and myself. We are the children of Keith and Donna Peculaire. Of course, they were well-known supernatural investigators, paranormal investigators. They worked on the Montauk Project on Long Island, which is where we were born. They traveled back in time to help start the Philadelphia experiment, if you've heard of that, which I'm sure you have if you're listening to this episode. And they eventually moved us to Batavia, Illinois, where they worked at the Fermi Lab due to unusual circumstances. About 10 years ago, I was living at home with my parents, and there was a night where they were swimming in the pool, and they were lost in time and space. We're not sure what happened to them about 10 years ago. The police did come, and they did take two bodies out of the pool, but they looked nothing like my parents. Their faces were bloated.
Really bloated.
I know what my parents look like. Those were not my parents, so... We've been trying to investigate and peer into anything we can in order to get some information as to where in time and space our parents are, which is why we're starting this podcast.
So we are not afraid of the government listening to this. We're really just trying to break open these secrets that so many people try to keep. Mm-hmm. We're putting it out to the world. So please.
We've read our parents' case files. They left those behind. And so we know a lot about a lot that the government doesn't want us to know about. And we're going to be here interviewing all the people in this community, those on your radar and those off, those underground, those above ground. We just want to help people out and of course, see if we can piece together what happened to our parents. We're joined here today. Our very first guest, we are thrilled to have him. He has a visitor's degree from Yale. This is Professor Radley. Hello, Professor.
Thank you guys so much for having me. And thank you also very much for doing this podcast. We need to get this information out. It needs to be disseminated to the public. You know, a lot of this stuff is very well documented.
Yeah.
People just need to open their minds to understand.
We really appreciate you saying that and for being our first guest. Professor, I just want to start off by saying I am not a huge fan of neck tattoos, but what you're featuring right now is really great. What is that?
Yeah, I had some crazy college years getting my visitor's degree at Yale.
What entails a visitor's degree?
I did not pay tuition to go to Yale. I just showed up to classes, I would photocopy the tests and exams and just do those. And
they let you just take those out of the classroom?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
I'd take those, I'd photocopy them, I'd do them, and then I'd have someone else grade them. Sometimes I'd grade them myself, and, you know, I did pass. And
The student becomes the teacher.
Yeah, and the teacher becomes the student. You know?
So you graduated. How did you get the label professor?
That is self-added. I did also get several online degrees. When you reach 10 degrees, you are officially allowed to call yourself professor. So,
And when you reach 98 degrees, you're trash. Don't enjoy pop music.
But the neck tattoo... neck tattoo, I just woke up, that is actually one of the impeti, you know, the impeti, many impetuses.
So you can't get it up?
Well, that is another problem.
Okay.
That one again, is related to.
Great. Well, we're here to put all our cards on the table. So we're here. Because it's the topic that's nearest and dearest to us, and it's the topic that unfortunately involves our parents, Donna and Keith, we are here to talk to you about time travel. So
yes.
Our parents are seemingly lost in time and space, so we don't need to talk specifically about them. But what are your thoughts on time travel?
Well, I first got into time travel while I was a few years after I had graduated from Yale.
And that was just when you decided to stop going?
Well, it was at the end of 4 years, exactly. Okay. I just said, you know what, I think I've done quite enough.
Yeah. Good to play by their rules in some regards.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I wanted to make sure that people knew it was legit, you know, for what it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was going through old photos mm-hmm. of myself in college, and I looked at one of those photos of myself at a college party, and I looked at least 20 years older in that picture.
Oh my God.
And I said to myself, I was like, wait, what? I don't even remember going to that party.
Yeah.
Then I realized that was me from the future going to that party.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a huge revelation. You know, I don't want to get into a lot of detail about this because I don't want to get anyone killed.
Oh.
You know, but my uncle did work at Area 51.
Wow.
And he would, I mean, he eventually went
crazy.
And I mean, we called it Alzheimer's, but
that's the government's name.
Oh,
for trying to let you forget things.
Exactly. Yep.
What they do is they drive you bananas and then they label it Alzheimer's so that you think that it's just some natural occurring disease.
Exactly.
And I can tell you the chemical makeup of a human brain when it has Alzheimer's is not found in nature. Those chemicals, that is man-made, manufactured, and the government is injecting crazy into our elderly, and we are just standing by.
Exactly. And he was riddled with it. I mean, just
you hate to hear the word riddled used in to any degree in any disease or
elderly people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly.
Or a man-made disease.
Exactly.
So you time traveled back in time to a college party. Did you, so was there two of you in the picture or what?
No, it was me. I just looked a lot older.
So why do you think, you chose to go, to the college party?
Well, I don't know that yet. You know,
so you didn't find yourself to impart any wisdom or
I just think of all the things that you could have done.
Yeah.
And you chose to go to
stop Obama.
No, I, you know, it looked like I was just there to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And you know, the vague recollection I have of that party, there was a guy, an older, creepier dude there. And, you know, he was eating sunflower seeds the whole time. He was just eating sunflower seeds and just kind of staring at people, you know, at a college party. And it was like the old dude at a college party eating sunflower seeds. And you know what? I don't like sunflower seeds, but I don't like them yet.
Yeah.
You know? Because you know your taste buds change every 7 years.
That man was at least 7 years in the future.
At least, but he looked at least 50.
And I don't mean to laugh. Your facial hair looks like a Civil War general. So to me, it's like, oh, is this guy, how long has this guy been around? Are you visiting from the 1800s?
Yeah. Well, once I started to learn more about time travel, mm-hmm. and learn more, I mean, there's documented evidence everywhere.
Oh, we know.
You know, I'm not sure if you know about Angelo Garguli.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. He is a man who, there are several pictures of him over spans of hundreds of years, mm-hmm. Or as long as photos have been around.
Yeah, he was in the army, right?
Yeah, he was in the army, and he's basically, you know, I think he is utilizing time travel, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I think one of the major revelations I had is that you can use time travel, and I think that's what my future self is doing.
Yep. Can I ask you this? Because there's a very famous photograph of the time traveling hipster. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
A man inserted in he's inserted himself in a crowd in the 1940s, 1941. He's wearing a cardigan, a logo graphic tee. He's wearing sunglasses.
His hair's curly.
Clearly time travel. And they've tested that photo. They've tested it. And and they can't find anything. No silly business.
Yeah.
So what are you wearing in the photo? What is future Professor Radley wearing in this photo?
Well, I mean, it was a college t-shirt. I mean, it's the type of thing I would be wearing. So I'm assuming
you're smart enough to blend
that
in.
That I was like, okay, I want to blend into this party and relive my college days. And wore what I would wear, you know, to that. Which is, you know, that makes so much sense with the time traveling hipsters, because, you know, once time traveling happens, you know, it's always happened. Mm-hmm. And once it's always happened, it's too old and it's too cool. Yeah. But then it loops back over and then hipsters are back into it again because everyone else has gotten out of it.
That's what fads, to me, fads are what happens. They're a ripple effect of when someone uses time travel to go back in time, people see what they're wearing or they see what they're doing or what they're saying, any slang or terminology, and that ripple effect brings it back. And that's what that is.
Adam, yep. I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's really incredible. Well,
get your head out of your ass.
Well, it's out and I'm here. Professor, do you have a wife and children at all? Or I should say partner?
Let's just start with wife and go from there.
Well, you know, my future self, you know, probably will, you know, I'm going to assume that.
Did
now.
You see a wedding band or anything?
No
like
wedding
that?
Band, but if I was going to a college party, I would have slipped that thing right off.
He's smart. He's smart enough to blend in. He's smart enough to take off any, identifying objects.
Yeah.
Accoutrement.
And, you know, I can't, you know, that's a future discussion for me and my wife as to whether or not we want to have kids. But, you know,
if your future wife was listening right now, what would you say to her?
I would say, you know, I'm sorry I yelled at you in front of your family.
Do you know that's going to happen or you just assume based on your personality?
And just based on past experience. You know,
What do you think would happen if you, and I'm taking something that's a little bit silly now, but the Woody, what is his
Harrelson?
Name?
Harrelson?
Woody Allen?
Woody
from Toy Story?
Woody Allen, I believe, who made Midnight in Paris about a man who travels back in time and falls in love. So is that the ideal way for you to find a wife, or do you think you'd have to be with somebody of the current time?
Oh gosh. I think, you know, now that I know that time travel is real, you know, I don't want to limit myself to a particular time period of wife, you know?
Yeah.
I would love a Victorian wife.
Sure.
And why is that?
Just the fashion, you know?
Could you have a modern day wife that just dresses Victorian? Or that sours the deal.
That's a lot to ask.
Yep. As soon as I said it, I knew it was too much to ask.
Because Victorian women didn't shower as much.
Yeah, they're nasty.
Yeah. Well, and that would match well with my current lifestyle.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of laudanum they're taking.
Yeah.
Probably have consumption.
I live above a Subway and I smell like...
fresh baked bread.
Yeah.
I can smell it from here.
Fresh baked bread all the time. Fresh break.
That's a hard word to say.
Yeah. Plus that, you know, that avocado mix that they use, that has a real pungent odor in the morning when they first open those bags. So I'd need someone who definitely, you know, was of an earlier era of cleanliness.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Do you think, because here's my theory. I think we can physically travel through time, as my parents did, and then the government put in two sacks of meat in my pool. I don't know who those hobos were, but those weren't my parents. I think we can physically travel through time, but I think it's much more difficult and rare to do so. I think the everyday time travel is what? We get 8 hours of what? 8 hours of what?
Sleep.
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 You go to sleep, quote unquote sleep, and you wake up what? Five to 8 hours later. What happened in that time?
REM.
Huh? Where did our mind go? What are you saying?
REM? REM sleep?
REM. Wet dreams and REM. Two of my favorite bands, but we're here to talk about time travel. So to me, sleep is the most common occurrence of time travel, you know?
Oh yeah.
Or I remember one time Sarah and I were riding bikes and I got hit by a car because I was making a certain hand gesture to a passing kid. And I remember being hit by the car. And then I remember waking up 2 days later in the hospital. And to me, what happened was my body was like, I'm going to grab your consciousness and I'm going to toss it 2 days into the future so that you don't feel this pain.
Because we thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was shaking him. Adam, wake up.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of blood.
That is a version of time travel. I mean, basically moving into the future while everyone experiences that future, but not you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you know.
But I think the consciousness is 10 times more likely to time travel than the physical bag of meat.
Well, you know what happens when you time travel is you see all of time all at once. All at once, you see all of time.
We were just all about to say it.
And it's real. It's not as amazing as you'd think it was. It's a little underwhelming.
It's not as pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I know one time I was watching TV and I was about to change the channel and something told me don't change the channel and I didn't. And then my very favorite commercial came on and I was like, that's me from the future. Came back to send me a message.
Oh, what commercial? Like,
it was the one where it's the little boy is eating a hot dog and he goes, he shrugs and he goes, Gotta love it.
Yep. I love that one.
Yeah.
Right after he eats that hot dog.
How crazy is it that the professor knew the punchline to
that? How did you know?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that my other self has learned to master time travel and can actually infiltrate me at any particular time. And I can know something before it happens through his influence. Wow. You know, there is something called time managers.
Mm-hmm.
They're people who live in between time, you know, and they're the ones that kind of manipulate, I believe, the past and the future. And, you know, everything that happens has already happened and will always happen.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it hasn't happened, you know?
Yeah.
We wish everybody could understand it in that way. It's so hard to explain to your friends and family.
Because everybody wants to talk about H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
You know? And this is how I conceive time travel to work, or that John Clav Van Damme movie.
Yeah, Time Cop.
Everybody's like, when you meet yourself, can you not occupy the same space or else you both disintegrate? And it's like, think outside the box.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the future, cars are going to be like that. You know, and I think whoever made that was manipulated by a time manager because they were able to see, you know, there is going to be a thin plastic coating over every car that jiggles a little bit when it drives, you know, and that's.
Professor, please tell me that you're going to write a book or that you're in the process of something so that
put pen to page.
I have written several papers unpublished, but highly Xeroxed, and I have.
That seems to be your MO.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean. You know, I am technically my living quarters are an office space. So there is another office next to mine that has a Xerox machine and they don't at night. No one's there.
Sure.
I can use it however I want.
And that subway is probably 24 hours and that masks noise.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. They have no idea what's going on. I've been putting it out there for sure. I will say a lot of publishers have turned me down, particularly Penguin has written me some very nasty notes.
You know they're connected to the government, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. That's what I bet it
is. So everybody's trying to force you out of this.
Because they know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Penguin is a bird that doesn't fly.
Yep.
No fly zone. 9/11.
Ooh.
Government connections.
I don't want to get into the 9/11 stuff because maybe.
Please don't.
Because in general it's sad.
I regret saying it. Because now this podcast is flagged. And we're going to use this opportunity to take a very quick break. We just need to make sure that no outside ears are listening. We need to code the podcast so that nobody can listen in.
And this is in a Faraday cage, right?
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Hi. This is Teresa from Baton Rouge. And I just want to say that my husband is no longer my husband. He doesn't look the same. And we have made love in probably 4 months, and something is going on, and everybody keeps telling me, you know, Teresa, he's having an affair, but I know my husband, and I know that's not the truth. I think something has possessed him, so I would love to be a guest. Give me a call, and yeah, I'm just a big, big fan. Thank you.
And we're back. We're here with Professor Edley. Not to pry or be rude, I do need to ask, just because my curious mind and conspiracies are afoot all the time. Is that your real name? Because to me, Professor Edley, it sounds like you were maybe reading To Kill a Mockingbird, and you enjoyed Boo Radley, and you're just like, let me just grab that and attach this.
I have changed my last name.
Mm-hmm. I knew it.
Because you know, I don't want to be traceable, but I still want to publish.
Smart.
So I figured, why not use a character from a book to publish another book?
Do you tell people your first name is Boo?
No.
Okay.
No,
that'd be dumb.
No, come on.
So when we were talking on the phone earlier, you were mentioning time travel in relation to the moon. What is that about?
Yeah. So first, can I preface this with, this is if the moon is real. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge asterisk over that. And, you know, I'm sure you guys are going to delve into that at some point. But there were footprints on that moon before we even got there. And you know what? They were sneakers.
What?
Yeah. They were Reeboks.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I know that there's this, like, a church or a temple in Spain that has a carved in the stone, there's a picture of an astronaut, mm-hmm, with clearly defined boots on.
Yeah.
And that's from like the 1100s
and
or something.
And they don't know how that got up there.
How did that get there?
Well, I mean, if you look really closely.
Are those little Reeboks?
They're little Reeboks.
Tiny Reeboks?
Yeah.
Wow. Is it plural of Reeboks, Reeboxes?
Reeboxes.
Think outside the Reebok.
here's my question.
Yeah.
Did Reeboks do the pumps, or did Nike do the pump?
I think Reeboks was a company that was Nike and Reeboks. Mm-hmm. I think that was a parallel universe. I think they split up and Reeboks stole the idea from Nike.
Okay.
Because Nike's clearly the front runner of, mm-hmm, shoe design.
Yeah.
And you know they're coming up. You know they're coming up with the light up heel like BK9's had. So I think there's time travel afoot.
Yeah.
To use a pun, there's time travel afoot where these companies are going back in time to steal from Nike, because Nike is the most innovative company.
Can I tell you guys something?
Please.
I don't know if you're big fans. I know you, Adam, are. But Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
You know those shoes that could tie themselves?
Yeah.
You know that they're just coming out with those now?
Yeah. Well, not just coming out with them. I mean, they're just releasing them.
They've had that technology since the 20s.
Yeah.
They've had that 25
but who
years.
Who gave them that technology? Yeah. That's the thing.
Do you think there's aliens on the moon? Why were time travelers on the moon?
Here's what I think. I think that we never went to the moon yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. We do go to the moon, but we go to the moon when you can just have...
So we haven't been to the moon yet, but we do go to the moon.
We do go to the moon, but you can wear shorts and a, you know, Tommy Bahama and, mm-hmm, get up there, mm-hmm, and just be... I really think they were playing hoops on the moon, you know? I mean, I'm...
Do you think that's where the script for Space Jam came from?
I think...
Is somebody from that project or experiment leaked that information, got it to Michael Jordan, Nike, hello Nike, back to Nike, and they made Space Jam?
Have you noticed how many hidden messages there are in Space Jam? I mean, think
just list them.
Okay, number one, I mean,
your eyes are saying there's five.
My eyes are saying there's five, and if you could just, after I say them, just yell out the number, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So number one,
you just said the number, so I'm gonna I don't want to double up on numbers. I don't want to double up on numbers. So you go ahead.
Force of habit. Okay. Here we go. Bill Murray.
One.
He wasn't around then.
Now that I think about it, you're 100% right.
Bill Murray wasn't around when Space Jam was made. Okay. Number two, I mean, have you seen that animation? That animation is that we can't do that animation today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Pixar is like, where did that come from?
Same with Beauty and the Beast for that ballroom scene. Mm-hmm. Why all of a sudden was it like cell animation? And then for the ballroom scene, mm-hmm. it's this amazing futuristic 3015 graphic design. Where did that come from? Aliens.
I know. And that duster.
I've never seen Space Jam.
No, I was talking about Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, the broom?
It's just like a little feather duster.
Oh, the feather duster.
Yeah.
Yeah. French,
yeah. When I was a kid, I was like, she was hot.
She was hot. She was hot. And the fox from the animal Robin Hood, that made Marion Fox. I mean, I'm still to this day, I'm looking for a woman who looks like the fox made Marion from that Robin Hood.
Yeah.
To this day.
I hope you find that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're on two.
Oh, we were only on two.
Wait, did you go forward in time to where you felt like you were done? Did you already say three, four, and five?
I went up to 10.
We'll trust. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There we go. We have evidence on this podcast. Mm-hmm. This podcast has just supplied evidence that time travel is real.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, here's the thing, guys. You'll get it. You'll get to experience it. It's just you don't know it yet.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we get it.
Yeah.
Trust us. I mean, we're living with the long-term effects of it.
Yeah.
You know,
I respect. That's really cool. Don't ever talk down to us, please. Professor Riley, do you have any other evidence of time travel besides what we've already displayed and talked about?
Well, so we've already talked about that hipster that has shown up in those old photos. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't even realize it. But when you see it, it's there. And that is Nixon was a hipster. And now,
a time travel or just a hipster?
He was a time traveling hipster.
And you know, I don't want to question you because I know you're a professor, but can you explain yourself?
Okay. Think about it. First off.
Okay. I thought you were going to stop there. And I was like, I think we need a little more evidence.
I was just giving you a
not saying he's not. Not saying he's not a hipster.
Yeah. Yep. Into really old recording equipment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hair.
Yeah.
You know, he really, not a lot of people know this, but he actually kept like old bottles and stuff and turned them into sculptures.
Mm-hmm. Classic hipster.
Yeah. Yeah. And he rode one of those big bikes with one big wheel and one little big wheel.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing any pictures like that.
That's because
they've been burned.
Yeah, he was in the highest position you can have in the world.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
There's no photographs, but I have some negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Though they didn't burn of him riding a big wheel, little wheel bicycle.
Is that what those are called? Oh, Professor, your nose is bleeding.
Oh, sorry. That is the thing. There are some negative side effects of, you know, time travel.
And is your body deteriorating? Do you have
you will eventually, you know, decompose to more of a being of light, you know, and your physical body kind of goes away. And then you're just stuck in this kind of dimension between time. And
well, that's what they say to time travel. We have to break the speed of light, and to break the speed of light would mean that your body is transforming into energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have done is you at some point in time have become pure energy and your body's tried to remanifest itself and it's failing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way to try to like reverse that is to like run a lot, like as fast as you can go, you know,
would you say you're a gym buff?
No, not at all. But when I go from one place to another, I mean, you'll see after this, I'm going to grab my messenger bag, and I'm just going to sprint right out of here.
That's why I, to this day, will fight tooth and nail to tell everyone I know that Forrest Gump was a story about a boy trying to time travel.
Yeah, yeah. Or trying to fight the effects of time travel.
Yeah, just sprinting everywhere.
A lot of movies are about it and people don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
What's another one?
Bratz.
The teenage girl dolls?
Yeah, Bratz the movie. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And your eyes are telling me that there's five clues, five secret messages couched in the screenplay for Bratz.
I mean, number one, I mean, have you seen how big their heads are?
One.
But in the movie, they're not big. They're normal people.
How else do you explain that?
Yeah. Oh, that's another effect of time travel.
Your nose is bleeding profusely.
I listed another 10. Did
weeks
you guys
to
not
live.
Hear?
Weeks. If I were a doctor, I would say weeks to live.
Weeks to live.
But here's what I'll also say. We would love to have you back on.
Okay. And speaking of doctors, don't go to a doctor.
Oh, no.
Because you know you're going to go in for a cold.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is you're going to have kidney failure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to pump you full of something. Mm-hmm. And then you're not going to be able to remember anything.
I know.
Yeah. And then it's like, what's this behind my ear? Oh, it's an implanted chip that's tracking my every movement.
I only go to doctors that have a visitor's degree. And
that's smart.
A doctorate and their visitor's doctorate.
Dance with the one that brought you.
Yeah, right? That's what my mom always said.
She's a smart lady. Well, Professor Riley, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. Thank you so much for being our first guest. Time travel is near and dear to our hearts. And what we want to do is every guest we have on, we just want to make sure that we engage them and get to learn about whatever they want to talk about. But ultimately, we are looking for our parents. So,
and you're a professor.
And you're a professor. So I just want to ask, is there, in terms of our parents, Keith and Donna, Peculiar, is there any information you might know about them? If you have seen them in your time travel, is there anything you can help us with?
Didn't they just die in a pool?
No.
Didn't they get electric? Kind of.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
For our listeners, if you have any questions for us or Professor Radley, or if there's any topics that you want to hear about in future episodes, please email us, but be very careful. Be careful with your server and your IP address, but you can email us at siblingspeculaire@gmail.com. That's siblings and then PECULIAR@gmail.com, siblingspeculaire@gmail.com. Some people say peculiar, but it's pronounced peculaire.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you guys so much. And again, thank you for doing this work. I mean, this is the work that needs to be done, and you're putting yourselves in danger by doing it.
We know.
For shits and giggles, just to take us out, could you list 3 through 10 for Space Jam?
For Space Jam? Wasn't Newman in it?
Hi there, this is Cousin Roy Peculaire. Just wanted to call and remind you that next week is Nana's birthday, and also to let everybody else know that this week's guest, Professor Radley, was played by Louis Saunders. Adam Peculaire was played by Adil Rifai. Sarah Peculaire was played by Sadia Rifai. Music was composed by Mark Swiderski. This episode was produced and edited by Ryan DeGiorgi and Tim Joyce. If you need to contact the siblings Peculaire with questions or have topics you would like to hear discussed, email them at siblingspeculaire@gmail.com. Spelled peculiar, pronounced peculaire. Have a great week.